While discussing these trolls who make nasty anonymous comments online, Paltrow called the effect of their insults dehumanizing. And
how would she know? She's not human. Yeah. Sorry. I guess that's what she's talking about, right?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I want to kick right off here with a little real estate news.
Real estate news?
Yes. It's somewhat related to Tales, but not really.
Okay.
So this is hot on the real estate market. Buyers dying to live in haunted houses.
What?
So it's
are you kidding?
Some buyers think it's cool to own a home where ghosts live. So this is mostly on the West Coast. It says, if you think haunted houses are impossible to sell, you're in for the fright of your life. There are some buyers out there who think it's cool to own a home that has ghosts in it. So there's a woman in California named Cindy Hagley, and she runs a real estate agency called Past Life Homes.
What?
Which specializes in selling stigmatized properties that include haunted houses. So in some states, and California is one of them, if something has happened in the house, if there's been a suspected haunting or a violent act or something strange has happened in the house, you have to disclose it to potential buyers.
Yeah, I know about that.
New York has it too.
Yeah.
But not every state. Some states it's like,
right.
You know, it's up to you, the buyer, to find it. Because it's like the kind of thing where if you go back, for example, like in the South, if you go back far enough in any property's history, you're going to find something, you know, not just the South, older parts of the country, pretty heinous. So this woman specializes in past life homes.
So the bloodier the better?
The bloodier the better. She says, right now we're in a seller's market in Northern California. You can have a dead body swinging from the chandelier. I'm still going to have 10 offers. She says,
wow.
Plenty of houses come for sale with supposed tenants of the supernatural who've allegedly lived there for hundreds of years, including in some states like California, we have to disclose. And she says, even after telling people that the house is haunted, people are still interested. Some people don't care. Some want a discount, but they ain't getting it, basically.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying here. I did a survey and found that 62% of Americans in the survey would consider a haunted house.
I'll consider it.
Yeah. 35% say they think they already have one.
I'm good. I'm good. But there's people that want the haunted house. It's like maybe they're in relationships and they're bored with their mates.
But I mean, I don't,
you know how it is, like when you're with somebody for a long time
and
you're
like, up by bringing a ghost into the bedroom.
No, you just like, you're a couple, you're going out to dinner, you already heard each other's stories, you know, you're like, I can't take, you know, you're at that point where you just.
Are you going to create a ghost? Is that what you're saying?
No, you're just like thankful that there's something else in the house.
To keep it going?
Yeah, to do something.
I get a dog. I don't know. I mean, so here's the guy who owns the home that is on the American Horror Story. So that house is for sale.
But that house is a mess.
The house is creepy looking. Yeah. He says, every time I go by the laundry room and the washing machine, I hear conversations clear as day. Well, he said he finds the ghost in the home friendly. He said Hagley says that she has teams of paranormal investigators for when a house is haunted, she's selling it. I don't know. What do they... They come in, like, certify it's haunted, the haunting is, like, friendly, or...
have, like, a... Maybe everyone has to have an experience, so other people say, yeah, I had an experience.
They're saying when people, you know... She said it's not like on TV where you see these alleged Ghostbusters calling the ghost out.
Mm-hmm.
We're gentle in our approach. It's not like, show yourself!
Now. So do you ever see the ones where they're just, like, they try to antagonize the ghost? They're just like, I don't think you could do it.
That's what she's talking about. Where they like throw down with them.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Yeah, but they're rude to them.
They're saying we're nice.
Okay.
She says they have a gentle approach with these spirits. When home buyers want the spirits to leave, she has a medium come in, Mark Christopher Nelson, and then he just gently asks them if they can go elsewhere. He says, look, we're not evicting.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying we're helping you out of the home.
Wow.
I'm sure. While most people shy away from buying haunted houses, there are actually people who are really excited about it. And she says that she calls security on those people because they're usually nuts.
Oh my god!
I find that so. So 32% of all people think they live in a haunted house. It's so bizarre
that they think they do.
Yes.
So what does
based
that mean?
On what?
Based on I get.
You know, so I live in a building that has like 90 units. Are 30 of those units haunted?
Basically.
Normal. Or do 30% of the people in my building think that their apartment is haunted?
Maybe it's like
4-H is haunted?
It's one ghost that's doing the rounds.
Just doing maybe it's just like in the recycling room.
Yeah.
It's an angry environmental ghost.
Right.
Hashing it out. So yeah, so people, I bet you a lot of people are like, this house is haunted. Like, what are you trying to like?
Well, what if
chain up the price?
So if you knock down the house, where does the ghost go?
I don't know. Well, I guess it depends on what kind. I mean, there are ghosts that haunt like a location.
Yeah.
But you're saying if the location is destroyed, does the ghost just hang around until something else is there?
Or yeah, just like the woods.
What if you just move the house somewhere else and the ghost comes, steps outside, like, what the F?
I saw a thing where there was a haunted house and it was like a pretty nasty ghost inside. It was really violent and whatever. And so they were demolishing the house and the owner of the house took off all the doors. And the doors were like these really nice old doors. Boom. And they were throwing them out and somebody was like, I like those doors. Can I take them? They're like, fine, you can take them. Installed the doors in the house that they lived in. The ghost...
So the ghost was in the doors?
Yeah, it followed the doors. And so now they're like, once they put the doors, this thing was like in the house and it was really horrible, the stuff
that's
the ghost
so
was
bizarre.
Doing.
Did the person know that the house was haunted before they put the doors?
Well, they're trying to figure out after weeks, like, what is going on? And then the husband's like, yeah, I got those doors from that house. And they were like, what's up with that house? Oh, it was haunted. They talked to the owner. The owner was like, yeah, we had to demolish the house because
it
was so bad.
And they didn't mention that when they were like, hey, can we get these doors? They were like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah. Like, why not say something? Look, you can take the doors,
yeah,
but they're haunted.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a lot of haunted movies, doors is where it's at.
Yeah.
Doors,
mirrors. Mirrors are another big one.
A fireplace. Don't get a fireplace in a haunted house.
Don't get antiques.
No.
New stuff.
Just to start from the ground up. You never see... Is a modern home ever haunted?
No.
Like kind of a...
Unless the location is haunted and they built a modern house on it, then it's like, oh.
I feel like that doesn't make for a good horror movie, though.
Yeah.
Like a
contemporary.
A contemporary home. Kind of a Danish, modern Danish design.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Nothing. Light woods, lots of windows. No, not haunted at all. All right, so that's my, I don't know, piece of real estate news. So what do you have? I see some fun pictures.
I have Hey You Didn't Know It.
I don't know. It's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, the Hey You Didn't Know It is Gwyneth Paltrow makes people mad again. What? Hey You Didn't Know It.
She's like one of the most hated people on earth.
She wasn't hated in the beginning. When she was young and into, like, she was with Brad Pitt. She was in, what, Seven with him? Was that the movie? She was, like, sweet. And it was
I saw her mother in L.A. at the Getty Villa.
Oh, Blythe Danner.
Yeah, she was looking around like anyone gave a shit. Nobody did.
Yeah.
No one cares. Wait, I saw your Boniva commercial or whatever you're shilling for.
All right.
that's Sally Fields.
Sally Fields, all right. My book.
This is some other old age thing commercial. Like, do you have this?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm old and this is all I can do, but I'm still in film.
Yeah.
Buy this thing. Side effects include overinflated ego.
I am responsible for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
Everyone should be mad at her.
She's the worst. She made a monster. Okay, so what'd she do?
She really did. She created a monster. From the ground up.
It won't go away.
Right. So Gwyneth Paltrow may have given more ammunition to the enemy. The actress has come under fire for likening the impact of negative online comments to being in a war. According to an interview she gave...
This is a woman who has never suffered... Maybe she had a hangnail once in the 80s.
Right.
A bad haircut. Probably the same day.
While discussing these trolls who make nasty anonymous comments online, Paltrow called the effect of their insults dehumanizing. And
how would she know? She's not human.
Yeah.
Sorry. I guess that's what she's talking about, right?
Yeah. You know, some people, their empathy starts and stops with themselves.
Yes.
And that's it. So when they feel something, it's like how? Oh my God.
This hurts.
This hurts.
Comments can hurt.
Yeah. You need to change your hair.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't hurt you. I'm doing you a favor.
Did someone attack her online?
Yeah, they attacked her online. They said whatever. But she said, you know, they generally do.
Okay, yeah.
And so her response is, you come across with these online comments about yourself and about your friends, and it's a very dehumanizing thing, Paltrow said. It's almost like how in war you go through some bloody dehumanizing thing, and then something is defined out of it. My hope is as we get out of it, we can reach the next level of conscience.
Who?
Yeah. This bit of introspection.
Gwyneth Paltrow and I have never been a we.
Yeah.
Like, that pronoun will never apply to that person and myself.
The bit of introspection did not go over well. Cindy McCain, wife of Senator John McCain.
Whose husband's been in a war.
And a prisoner of war.
And a prisoner of war.
Tweeted,
you are a silly bitch. Hashtag dumb hoe.
That's right. So Cindy McCain's tweets are infamous for hashtag dumb hoe.
Yes, she's known.
Yes, Gwyneth. She tweeted, "Gwyneth Paltrow is a joke. Her life is like taking bullets for a soldier. What a joke." My two sons serving in the military should talk to her. She further tweeted, "Perhaps Gwyneth Paltrow should go out on patrol with some soldiers." Kind of like a red carpet in her mind, I guess.
Oh, damn. You know what? I got to give it up for the McCain woman. Right. How?
It's not
her husband's not too bright, but she seems all right.
Yeah. It's not the first time the star had stirred strife with her comments. In March, she faced criticism when she told E! That it was much harder for her as both a mother and celebrity.
To do what?
She said, her quote is, "I think it's difficult when you have an office job because it's..." I think it's different when you have an office job because it's routine. And, you know, you can do stuff in the morning, then you come home in the evening. She said, when you're shooting a movie, they're like, we need you to go to Wisconsin for 2 weeks. And then you work 14 hours a day. And that part of it is very difficult. I think to have a regular job and be a mom is not as, of course there are challenges, but it's not like being on the set.
Wow, this is someone whose house staff is probably going to smother her in her sleep one night.
Somebody's
going to hit her upside the head. Why would you say this?
Slowly feed arsenic into her food.
So here's the thing.
Her macrobiotic diet.
It's like, does she not... It's interesting because there are a lot of actors in Hollywood who do come from a modest background. Or who just have some common sense. Like the sense that was probably given to the common animal. Mm-hmm. To like not say things like this.
Right.
Does she not have a friend around her who can be like, dude, shut up?
No, she does not.
Check her letter. So then she has no friends, basically. She has a bunch of yes people around her.
And she later defended herself by saying, as mommy wars rage on, I'm constantly perplexed and amazed how little slack we cut each other as women.
Who? You're not. No, we're there. Once again,
well, there is no we.
There's no we.
No we.
Gwyneth Paltrow, you don't get a pronoun with us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then, of course, in 2012, she tweeted, well, she was attending a Jay-Z and a Kanye West concert in Paris.
Oh, that's right.
She tweeted, the N-word in Paris for real.
Oh.
Yeah.
All three of them, though, could really just disappear down a black hole. It's a shame that they get so much, like, out of life.
Yeah.
It is, really. I mean, I hate to be like that, but it's like, there are so many decent, good people out there who just deserve a break, and these jackasses are, like, running around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Breathing in and out.
Good air. That other people could be breathing.
Air that someone else could be breathing.
Yeah, she was.
Expending energy that could be used for anything else, you know?
Yeah, she did this because it referred to a song title.
Oh, I get
rappers.
It. But
yeah.
It's like, I'm
but
sorry.
It's like, she can't do that.
She
can't do that.
I don't do that. I don't.
Nobody know. Should do that.
But here's the thing: is it actually? And I had a big argument with someone about some other rich woman who was like, "I'm going to show my nipples as a protest." Nobody cares.
Oh yeah, rumor Willis.
Yeah, nobody cares about any of that stuff. That stuff has nothing to do with any. I wish it did. Like, I wish their lives had any kind of an impact on anything.
But they just don't.
Yeah. And it's sad because I don't think they. I don't know what world that they're living in, but people need to stop reporting on it.
Extremely privileged.
It's good, and you know what?
Who is out of touch?
And that is why
smug and
we have disease and mortality because those things touch everybody, indiscriminate.
Right,
you know.
Right.
So here's what happened. Speaking of office work.
Oh yay.
Dealing with nosy coworkers.
Hmm.
Yes, and I've had these before because I've had many jobs where I've worked in. A cubicle. Yeah. And in a cubicle, there's no privacy whatsoever. So it says,
don't let those little walls fool you.
Yes. This is actually advice on advice.
Yeah.
So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks, unqualified, and we improve upon it with our own advice. Hence,
yes. Advice on advice.
So this is from the Advicist.
Advicist?
I can't believe we haven't seen this before. The Advicist. It says, dealing with nosy coworkers.
Okay.
Question. How do I deal with a nosy coworker who asks too many questions about my personal life? Back the F up? I don't know. Wants to know what, where I am going, and when I take a personal vacation days. Am I being overly sensitive?
No.
The advisor says, I don't think that just by not wanting to share every detail of your life outside your work, you're being oversensitive. You might just be African American. I put that in there.
Oh, no.
If you are, because we like to go home. If you are, my coworkers through the years will have got me a very special snowflake. I don't know what that means.
A special snowflake.
Okay. So how much to keep your work and home life separate is a matter of personal choice. It has a lot to do with the environment with which you work. Some workplaces are conducive to out-of-work friendships. Or it says out-of-works friendships.
Oh,
but not conducive to editing. And the hours you put in almost demand. Others bring together people from diverse walks of life with different ages and interests whose only real commonality is the work they do. I was thinking about this. Do you know when you're younger and you work in offices, you want to hang out. But once you start approaching 30, you're like, get away from me.
Yeah, it's like, I'm tired.
And there's all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, everyone's not my age.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who are younger than me and people who are older than me, and I don't want anything to do with them.
Either one of them. On the scale. Yeah, but when you're younger, you're like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, let's hang out, because there's nothing else going on.
Right.
It says that civility is important. Well, okay. It depends on if they're above or below.
Yeah, right.
Or your peer. If you're on the secretarial pool, it's okay to be like, back the F up.
Yeah.
It says civility is important. If they're genuinely just being friendly and interested, fine. But when it moves into nosiness... All right, so she says, when a coworker asks what you're doing on your vacation day, you could use one of the following. Just chilling.
Yeah.
And if they ask what you will be doing, say, I haven't decided yet. Mm-hmm. And if they ask again, you just say, I'm just tidying up the house.
Yeah, right.
And if they ask what errands you're going to be doing, and say, look, all the ones I've been putting off because I've been so busy, and then move along.
Yeah.
You don't say move along. You move along.
I would say move along.
I say what? Good day.
Yeah, good day. I said good day.
I said good day to you, ma'am.
I say if someone asks me about that, I say I just have a bunch of things to do.
Whatever happened to Nanya? Do you remember
Nanya?
Nanya business. That's what we would just say when we look. What are you doing this weekend, Nanya? Nanya what? Nanya business.
I've never heard that.
I think it used to be a lot more commonplace to say it's not really your business.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to say Nanya.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, nowadays, people feel like they have to, like, let people down very gently. I think in the past, they're like, what are you doing this weekend? Not much. And that was it.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a conversation thing. And nobody really cares what you're doing.
Apparently, this person does.
It's just like, you know, I say, oh, did you have a nice weekend? Or anything fun this weekend that you're doing?
Yeah. Or as I used to say when I worked...
Nothing much. People like nothing much or whatever.
When I worked in an office with a bunch of young people, how was Connecticut? Which they didn't really like. Did you have fun in Connecticut? So it says, if you can't get them to stop asking questions, make it clear that you're working. Sorry, Jim. I'm just trying to total these figures. Or, actually, Jane, I just need to ask marketing something. Put your head down or walk away.
Right, like, walk away.
You're at your desk. What if you just say, you know what, I'll be right back, and then leave?
Oh, no, you should just do a point at your phone and say, I have to take this call, and then just pick up and start talking.
Yeah. And then that would be, was that my phone?
Yeah.
But then what could they say? It didn't ring. Excuse me?
What?
I'm trying to take this. Hold on for a second. Can I help you? Because...
I'm on the phone. Stop it. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone right now.
Hold on. Let me put them on hold. This must be really important. I'm on the phone. I like that. Just act crazy. And it says...
But, you know, some people, they like get into like your sick days. What was really? Wrong with you? How are you feeling? What's happening?
You know what? I'm barren.
I just...
I had an abortion. That's always good. Where were you over the long weekend? I had an abortion. Well, you said that last week. Look, life is tough. Didn't take.
Didn't take. Okay, didn't get it all.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't. We had to go back.
Oh, God.
I feel like if people are bothering you, then just give them information they don't want to know. Yeast infection is always nice.
My period was killing me.
Yes.
You should have seen it. It was like a murder scene.
Yes. It was like the Red Sea knows nothing.
Yeah, right. All over. The clots. The clotting. You should
foot see. Fungal, toenail fungal infection. Like, you want to see it? I can just slip the shoe off right now.
I was shitting.
Yes.
I spray painted
from the moment I talked to you on Friday at 4:30 until 2 seconds ago when I came back to my desk.
My bathroom has had to be repainted.
If you know what I mean.
Right. I'll spare you the details.
So bizarre. I always try to, because once again, because I've been freelancing for a while, I just try to keep a low profile.
Yeah.
I don't even, because my name is hard to pronounce, it helps. It really does. It really, really does. Or sometimes I just give people a nickname that I don't use.
Yeah.
And then if they say it, I just don't hear them.
Yeah.
Because it's not me.
No.
It's not me.
That's what I'll do.
What do you go by, Jay? And then if someone's like, Jay, I'm like.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Never heard of him. Don't know him.
That's very funny. Don't know him.
Don't know him.
It's who? Jay.
Then I show them my name. This is me. If they can't say it, they just walk away. That's it.
That's good.
You looking for this person? All right, what do you got?
Okay, we have here a second listener email.
Sweet. Listener email. We love to get listener email. If you send us a listener email, we will send you a shot glass. We only have a few left.
Yeah, oh, right. Get them while they're here.
These are a limited edition because they're probably not going to be anymore.
Right. This is from GB. GB.
Yay, yes. GB.
In a previous episode, GB had given us some advice to me from some
and we read it.
And we read it. And so she wrote back again saying, hello, ladies. First, let me thank you for the handwritten note that was with my shot glass.
Oh, that must have been you.
Yes.
Because I just said crumpled up newspapers.
I know. Quinn and I, we each have the shot glasses in our respective homes.
Yes.
And you know, we take turns mailing them out. And I pack mine with tissue paper.
Yes.
And I have a handwritten note.
And I just crumple up some Wall Street Journal, stick it in there, and put the address on it.
Yeah. So if you get a note, it's me.
Yeah. If you get the Wall Street Journal, it's me.
Yeah. And there you go. Okay, so she appreciates the note.
Free financial news.
Yes, right.
That's what I include.
Both are valuable.
Yeah, you get something.
That's great from each. She says, now the good stuff. There's something for Tales Around the Digital Campfire. I'm a big fan of Asian horror, and this is one of the weirder legends.
Oh, cool.
Enjoy.
Yay.
So here we go with Tales.
We're getting international. Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find Tales of the Paranormal on the internet, or our fans send them in.
Yes.
And we retell them here around the Digital Campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
Gather around, people.
This is Hanako-san. Terror of the Toilet.
Oh, why is it all... Okay, because it's from Japan.
Right? Yeah. Hanako-san is a spooky young girl that haunts school restrooms across Japan. Has in recent decades become one of the nation's most famous ghosts.
Wow.
Right. This was also in Harry Potter. They had a ghost in the bathroom.
Yeah, maybe they took it from this.
Probably. And it's not uncommon for schools to have a toilet permanently occupied by a mysterious girl... who is known in Japanese as Tori no Hako-san, which means Hanako of the Toilet.
Okay. That didn't really help us out very much, but okay.
She is often found in the third stall in the restroom on the third floor, usually the girls' room.
Okay. That's cool.
I like that. So a third stall. Okay. But this can vary from school to school. Details about her physical appearance also vary, but she's usually described as having bobbed hair, wearing a red skirt.
Smart. Smartly dressed.
Her behavior also varies according to locations, but in most cases, she remains holed up in the bathroom until an adventurous student dares to provoke her.
Okay.
She can
trying to pee, I'm guessing.
Yeah, right.
Needing to go.
She can be conjured by knocking on the door to her stall, usually three times.
Okay. On the ceiling.
Yes. Calling her name and asking a particular question. The most common question is simply, are you there, Hanako-san? If she is present, she will says in a faint voice, yes, I'm here.
Out.
Some stories.
That's all I need to hear.
Yeah. Some stories claim that anyone courageous enough to open the door at this point is greeted by is greeted by a little girl in a red skirt and then pulled into the toilet. There you are.
Not bad.
The origins are
Why
murky.
Why would anybody ask?
Yeah, she thought the origins are murky. The speculation she existed maybe since the 1950s.
Okay.
They say that she's the ghost of a World War II era girl who died in a bombing raid.
Okay.
And was while she was playing hide and seek.
Oh, in the toilets.
Yeah. Others claim she is the restless spirit of a young girl who met her end at the hands of an abusive or deranged parent.
Okay.
Or a perverted stranger.
Wow.
Yeah. Who found her hiding in the bathroom. In some cases, she's the ghost of a former student who died in an accident. Like, there's one school that claims that she fell out of a library window. Now she's in the bathroom.
The school claims it.
Yeah.
Most schools would claim that nothing happened.
Yeah. let's see, there's then the legends of what's going to happen to you if you meet her. They vary also. One legend says if she speaks to you in a nasty voice, something terrible will happen to you. So if you get a nice voice, it's going
to
be...
You'll just get sucked into the toilet.
Otherwise, something other... Yeah. Some say that she's actually a 3 meter long, three headed lizard.
Huh? Okay, that's far afield, people.
Yeah.
That's really departing from...
Yeah. And it uses the little girl's voice to attract prey.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Yeah. In another school, it said that a large white hand emerges from the hole in the floor in the third bathroom if you say third Hanako-san. And then a hand comes out. I don't like that one.
And then what happens?
Nothing.
High-fiving. Like what?
Right.
A swift slap in the face.
In a boy's room, it is said that a bloody hand emerges from the toilet if you walk around it three times while calling the name.
Okay, see, here's the thing. I would never, ever do any of these things. No. I'm not going to go into a bathroom. Like, I have been in, because I used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And I will say that some of the schools that I worked in after hours were creepy, because they were old.
Yes.
There were a lot of blind stairwells and this kind of thing. But anytime I went into a bathroom, and not just because it was in the shitty part of the Bronx,
yeah.
If it were after hours, I'd always check to see if there were any feet under the... I mean, that's like a basic, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for Hanako-san or whatever it is.
Yeah. Hanako-san.
And I wasn't going to call out.
No.
Is anybody here?
You know what's funny is that the cleanest toilet is always the first stall. Because
people skip it.
People skip it thinking that's the most obvious one to go into.
And then conscientious people like ourselves go in there.
Yeah, right.
And
so it's usually, then the second one is still too obvious, and people go in the third one most often.
Really? I didn't know that. That's quite interesting.
Yes.
We should put a prize in the first one.
It'll go around to the first
one. Congratulations!
You
Here's a shiny it. Five.
Yeah.
We should do for coming to the first stall.
And
in the third stall, just grim death. Death.
Yeah, we'll put her.
Surprise! Grim death.
Yeah. You can avoid her by staying away from her hiding spot, but if you need to get rid of her, try showing her a graded exam with a perfect score. She says they say the sight of good grades makes her vanish into thin air.
Wow. That's so bizarre.
I think someone made
like
that.
Parents
That's
tagging
parents
that one
like, oh, guess what?
Yeah, grim death or straight A's.
Yes. Get the straight A's, and that's why Japanese school systems are, all the students make...
Because they don't want to get flushed with a bloody hand?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Thanks very much for sending that one in.
Thank you so much.
Hooray.
Thank you, GP.
I love it when people send in segments. It just makes our lives a lot easier.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and...
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have a quick penis news.
Penis news.
This is from... Zimbabwe.
Uh-huh.
It says, Deep Kloof, that's the name of a town, or province maybe, uh-huh. Woman in shock after lover forgets penis in bed. So, Nubokasi Nukube had the shock of her life when she found her lover's penis on the bed.
What?
According to myzimbabwe.co.zw, the woman's living lover, Shalazo N, I can't pronounce the last name, there's just not enough vowels.
Okay.
insisted on having sex in the dark throughout their relationship.
Okay, sure.
Nobukosi said that the pain she experienced during intercourse was unbearable. The penis was too big and too strong. It was not
sure.
It was not like a penis of a human being at all, she said. At night when we had sex, I couldn't see anything. 9 months into their relationship, Nubukosi went to make the bed one morning and found a big plastic penis between the sheets. I found out my boyfriend was a woman like me, she said. When asked for a comment, the girlfriend said, my girlfriend knew I was a woman. I just think that's a very short penis news, but it's like, talk about delusion.
That's the funniest thing ever. My boyfriend insists on having sex in the dark.
Now, how could you not know that your partner
is a woman?
She knew.
Yes. I guess she was just, I don't know. Maybe she was just shocked to find that she was a woman without a penis. I don't know.
That's
the worst story ever.
That is
really I'm gay.
If 9 months later.
Yes.
I realize.
I like the girlfriend story, though. Yeah, huh?
Yeah, she's like, you know. It's like,
what?
This elaborate ruse, you know, of cross-dressing and doing this whole thing in the dark just to...
In any case, that's my penis news for today.
That's
short
very nice.
And sweet. Unlike that penis. All right, what do you have?
It was so big.
It was huge. So, unpopular science.
Yeah.
Or I'll say, here's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
If you look in the notes, and I was like, bonus science. That's what that's about. All right, so what's today's bonus science?
Okay, this one is called, finally, a fart app worth caring about.
Oh, phew.
Okay, so it says here, you know, in the early days of the App Store, there mm-hmm. were so many developers coming up with ideas, trying to find original ideas for apps.
Mm-hmm. And this is why more people need to get into technology.
Right, yeah, because it's all these...
so we can stop having these white, like, young frat boy apps.
Yeah, yeah, right, doing the fart apps. So what they did, they would create all these fart apps, and they would just... There were so many of them.
Were they selling them?
Yeah, people were selling them.
What happened to just making using the old armpit?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
just the noise with the mouth.
But there's so many of them. It's just like a ton of them. There are okay. all these different sounds and tones and all these things. And
Finally, they were free or they were selling them?
Both.
Okay.
You know, there's just like a ton of them that flooded the market with. That's what happened. I missed this whole thing for
Me
some
too.
Reason.
But here I am still doing it old school. This type of thing. Peter Seller style.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. All right.
So then it stopped, you know, the bloom was off the rose,
yes.
as they say. And so, but now there's a new app called Fart Code. Yes. And it's here to right the wrongs created by so many lame novelty apps that came before it. So
okay.
what it is, Fart Code scans the barcode on your food label and dissects each product's ingredients. So
no, it does not.
For anything that might produce gas later on.
Okay.
So the app then ranks your potentially fragrant food on a scale from stinky to toxic. So if your food is free from potentially trouser-blasting ingredients, who wrote this? Mike Weiner.
Does it come with a... No, it didn't. No, does it come with a free, like, Beano?
No. Okay, and then you'll get a notice that it's all clear if there's nothing in it.
Mm. So, like, water's okay. But, like, a can of baked beans?
Yeah, it's going to get...
Run.
You can use the app to get additional details about each food's farty elements, text your findings to anyone you desire, and, of course, it makes a farting noise, too.
Okay. Thank goodness. Yes, I was going to say.
It's obvious.
Please tell me that there's a fart noise.
Yeah, so basically, you know, it'll be like...
Because, you know, if nothing else, I need to get that sound of flatulence going out of my phone.
Right. So it goes here, like, for example, over butter, it shows you that butter is a dairy product,
okay.
has milk and lactose, which can be challenging.
And then it has an image of butter. It looks gross, like a cloud.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and that's what it does. And so... It breaks down.
And how much is this app? Because I need to get it immediately, if not sooner. What? Like, really?
Yeah.
This is how I feel like they talk about, like, low-hanging fruit in technology. It's like, oh, come on, guys. Like, there's a big problem out there that we're all missing. Because
yeah,
we're too busy focusing on, like, dating apps and, you know.
Right. This app is, they say, not only is this app easy to use, but the accuracy... of the sounds cannot be denied.
I'm denying it. I'm a denier. I'm a fart app denier.
Yeah, so it says it's a lot of fun to watch what you eat with this app. And
really?
So, but I don't think so.
Wow.
I think that it's like...
It was written by Frank N. Weiner? Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, Mike Weiner.
Oh, Mike
Weiner. Mike Weiner. Weiner. Anyway, so that's...
Oh.
Thumbs down for me.
Wow.
Just stop it.
That's a silly app.
Just pay attention to what you eat and how you feel.
Yeah, or step outside.
Yeah.
Step into the bathroom. That's what that is for.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
see. What do you have?
I have here. Greg sent this one. This is the Hey You Didn't Know It Walmart Law. Uh-huh. Is Walmart Law coming to the U.S.? Retailer adds lawyers on site for Toronto area shoppers.
Oh, my God.
So shoppers at a handful of Walmart stores in Toronto can consult with a lawyer whose offices are conveniently on site. And I bet you all his lawyer friends...
Right,
I'm
right.
making fun of him for having a kiosk set up in Walmart to vend law.
No kidding. Like, and you know that's
maybe, the so you went did you Yale or Harvard?
Yeah, right.
The law officers are staffed by Access Law, which aims to offer fast, affordable legal services. Now, here's my thing, and I talk about this to people all the time. There's some services that I don't know if I want a discount on.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Gynecology. I don't want
nope.
a coupon for that.
Nope.
I don't want to, you know, a blood test.
Nope.
Like legal representation.
Any eye surgery.
Yes. Anything where it's like really, really important to me. I don't want a discount.
Yeah. Yes.
I do
no,
not.
No, you want to pay full price and make sure that person is working,
yes,
for,
is
working
for
hard
you.
For every penny that it's, yeah.
It says a lot of people are intimidated by lawyers.
I'm not.
Fuck them. This is a non-intimidating setting. It's a sketchy setting.
Yeah.
Right. Is it next to the guy who's doing, there's like an, I don't know, what are the kind of kiosks are set up in there?
It's the blood pressure cup.
Yeah. The foot thing that you stand on to see what kind of orthotics you might want to get from Dr. Scholl's.
And then there's a lawyer sitting
then
there.
Then legal advice.
Yeah.
Like, what do you get? Like immigration advice in there? Like matrimonial? You know what I mean? Like, what states?
Oh, then parental identity. What is it called? Paternity.
Things. Swab.
You know, girls who are getting running to get the Plan B.
Oh, that's right. And then a lawyer.
A lawyer. Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of people are intimidated. This is non-intimidating. In Markham, the law office are open 7 days a week until 8 p.m. If you really want a lawyer, you can probably get one 24 hours a day anywhere.
Yeah.
Hours vary, but some are listed at evenings and weekends are the busiest. The firm charges $99 for a simple will. Okay, that's not bad. A will, sorry. $25 a notarized a document. I thought notary was like $3.
Notary is cheap. That's
and then $19 for each additional.
I could go to the mailboxes.
Yes. Or you could also go to your local, like, government office will do it. Banks will do it for you.
And also Barbara. Yes. Barbara, who is the receptionist, she can do it.
I think I used to be a notary as well. So they said, so this is happening in Canada. Will it come to the U.S.? The answer?
Sure.
Maybe. This is not an article at all. It said Walmart in the United States could lease office space to lawyers or could dive into the DIY game itself by selling its own legal service.
Oh.
Walmart lawyer. I don't know. Like, it's not that I have anything against Walmart, but once again, it's like I'm saying, I don't know if I want a discount on that.
Yeah, right.
Like, is that a guy who just couldn't get a law firm going anywhere else?
Yes. That is the guy who didn't show up for class.
For class, and was like, eh.
And just passed by the skin of his teeth.
Maybe he has a whole office, but I'm just imagining a guy standing behind kind of like in the Peanuts comic strip, like the doctor is in.
Right. And he just turns over in and out.
It's like, you know, legal advice, 5 cents.
Yeah.
Right. So that's hey, you didn't know it. You can get your law at Walmart.
Yuck.
Got your law right here.
Yuck.
One law.
Yuck.
All right, what do you have?
I have your advice.
Oh, cool.
Advice.
This is some I think we just did some advice, so we can do bonus advice on advice.
Bonus advice.
This is a bonus.
Yes.
It's a bonus podcast.
Okay.
What do you got?
Okay, I've got here, Dear Aging. BG. All right, 2 years ago, I met my price. And then in parentheses, dolls. Price is such an interesting slip. I'm leaving it in. She meant to write Prince.
Oh.
And then she's like, I've made a typo, but I think it's Freudian, so I'm keeping it in everywhere.
Okay. Or you just can't type.
Yeah. He's loyal, royal, funny, cheeky, and great in bed.
Okay.
Our life is comfortable.
I say, okay, hold on. A lot of the EG things are like, everything is great, but his left toe.
Yeah.
You know, like the left big toe.
Yeah. Our life is comfortable, complete with private jets and super yachts. The problem, the problem is I'm 23 and he's 50 and doesn't want to marry, doesn't want children, and has taken away my independence.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me to stop working, go into the gym and see my friends so I can be available to him 24/7.
Sounds like a concubine.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you can do that for a little while.
But does he have a gym indoors for her? Because he's not going to get tired of that really quick if that thing doesn't stop working out. Doesn't. We never go out because he's so private.
How'd you meet him?
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Other guys flirt with me constantly. I've never been unfaithful, but I recently met a young sailor who really turned my head.
A young sailor?
Who turned my head. Because she's...
What century is this? Okay, go ahead.
It's from 1950.
Yeah.
Probably.
He's going to end up dead. The young sailor ended up dead the next day.
Suddenly, the notion of being in love with someone my age, going out to dinner and parties, feels like a better option.
Okay.
Really?
He's probably broke, too.
Yeah. My best friend tells me my prince is old, smokes and drinks, and shouldn't last much longer. 50? Come on.
Smokes and drinks. Oh, old smokes and drinks.
He's old, smokes and drinks, and shouldn't last much longer.
Yeah, so, like maybe another 30 years. That's not a long time.
So should
when you're 50, he should be dead.
Right. So should I save everything I can and wait it out? Or I would have no more Louis Vuittons if I walk away now.
I would say...
Or Louboutins.
Either or.
Yeah.
Get some good things that you can sell. some nice jewelry, some assets, you know, while you can. And then be out.
That's it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Jewelry. You're 23. You can always resell jewelry.
Yeah, but always make sure the diamonds are round.
Yes.
Yeah, don't get a like
marquee.
A marquee shape, forget it.
No.
That's
our advice.
Yeah.
Stay away from marquee. No, really.
Get a bunch of rounds.
Yes.
That's it.
Square cut marquee, no.
Square, yeah, no. And then signed shoe lover.
Oh. So those were, it was Laboutin's or whatever.
Yeah. Eugene writes, "Shoe, you delicious half-wit."
Oh, this is what I'm saying.
Eugene.
Like, she just starts off however she wants
to.
This is the B gene part.
Okay. Oh, please. The chap could guzzle 3 bottles of Cristal a day and live to be older than Kim Cattrall's grandmother.
Exactly.
Get Kim Cattrall out of this.
Is Kim Cattrall's grandmother still alive?
No one knows.
Kim Cattrall is happy to get a mention. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Pack twice.
Pack your precious pumps, polish your resume, and get the hell out of there. When I was your age, I had a rich geezer at 52. One day, the mamas...
I'm sorry, are we the stupidest 23-year-olds ever?
I think so.
I was dating broke guys when I was younger.
I know. I never did the geezer. I never did the geezer.
But, it seems like that's the only time you can do it.
Yeah.
Because now we are the geezer.
Exactly.
Age, and they don't want us, so...
Right. Yeah. One day, the mamas and papas, Michelle Phillips, a woman of such generosity, I thought I was in some... She was some kind of new gender. Eugene is out her shit.
Hitting the pipe, Eugene.
Yeah.
Eugene, you want the pipe?
So Michelle Phillips smiled at me and my geese in the Ambassador East Hotel lobby and asked if I was his daughter. Well, I replied, since you're my mama, only you know if he's my papa. Again, even then, if she said that then, what the fuck is wrong with
Eugene? What is she talking about? I think we need an intervention.
I know. All young ladies of spunk and massive intellect sample life with a rich codger. It's a rite of passage. And now your rite is over. Salute the queer gods, get to work, and in 6.5 years you'll be shopping for a speedboat just to hold the shoes you can't fit in your yacht. E.G.
Oh, wow.
E.G.
Wow. I know. That's the sound of Katie crossing.
Help us. Oh, my God.
I don't know what any of that means.
I know. Why she has to name drop Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas.
She's talking about another celebrity as well.
Yeah, right. And another one.
I don't understand what's...
I don't know what's wrong with her. That she's like, so Eugene is saying it's a rite of passage when you're young and of massive intellect and spunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Some young girls are full of spunk.
23? I don't even think I had enough sense to be like, go with a rich guy.
Yeah, no.
I only figured out later when it was too late.
Yeah, it's over. You got a short window, a little window of opportunity for that kind of stuff. And you have to have the stomach for it.
You do have to have the stomach, but you also have to be like, I wasn't highfalutin. Like, I didn't, you can't roll up in some keds.
Mm-hmm. You have to get, you have to have the right bait. You have to have at least a couple of outfits at the ready.
Yeah. I didn't get that one.
And then also, as good looking as you are and as great as all the things you can do, you still have to be able to carry on a conversation with somebody who's older. And they,
there's a big gap. I think I dated one or two older people. And by dated, I mean went out on a date.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself, and I think maybe we talk about this before. You find yourself I can't talk about these paintings or this.
That's what happened to me.
History. And it's interesting because the older guys, it's like there's a level of, they're mature, but they're not mature enough to realize that you're not going to know what the fuck they're talking about.
If they don't care that you can't converse, then what is
then what's the point of it?
The point of it is that he's just having sex any way he wants.
And spending
money on
which
somebody who looks good on his arm. But that's a lot of, get a prostitute.
Then don't, but then don't try to have these kind of conversations or, if you know it's going to be awkward, you're right, just get a prostitute.
Really? Because it's a lot of,
because the right kind of prostitute, like a high-class prostitute, will be able to have these conversations with you and will know how to control herself and behave. And it's not going to feel out of place. It's not going to care.
Yeah. Exactly.
So weird.
Yeah, and not a lot of young girls will know how to handle themselves with in this kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't know all the forks now.
Or it's a joke among the friends, and they're all laughing.
And then that's not, like, why would you want to bring someone into that situation?
And why would you want to be that if you know?
But she's saying this guy's really private, so maybe he's not trying to take her out because...
He's embarrassed. Yeah, he's like, oh, God, there she
goes,
talking again.
It's hard for a lot of these guys who are this age. I've seen this, like, in New York. I've seen it in other cities. A lot of these guys look like trolls.
Yes.
And a woman of their age is like, oh, you shouldn't be looking this broke down already.
Yeah, right.
I have money as well. And this is not, you know, like, you're not that interesting or captivating.
Yes.
And it's more, when you're younger, it's money is more exciting. Mm-hmm. The older you get, the less exciting it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess in a way that someone who's 23 and attractive and naive and someone who is 50 and has a lot of money as a troll mm-hmm. is not a bad mix for a while.
Yeah.
Because they can stand each other a little bit. But a 50-year-old woman is going to be like, uh-huh, great, you've got some money.
Good.
Great. Like, I also have some money.
Yeah.
But E. Jean is just going off the rails.
B. Jean. It's the B. Jean advice, yeah.
All right, cool. We're done.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.